Welcome to episode 3 of the Let's Get Down to Business podcast. I'm your host today, Charlotte Newman, and today I want to chat to you about how you go about identifying what your real break-even point in business actually is, as well as touch on pricing. So most businesses are started simply because the owners need to earn a living. So we will discuss how you go about ensuring that can happen right from the start. So to help with this, I'm joined today by Josh Curtis, partner at A4G LLP. Hi Josh, how are you?
Hello, Charlotte. I'm very well. Yourself?
I'm very well, thank you. Well, I wanted to just kick straight off then. So for any listeners who are new to business or even their business finances, can you just explain, Josh, what the real break-even point is, what it actually is?
Sure. A lot of people in business talk about a break-even point, and a break-even point traditionally is the point at which you make enough sales to make no profit at all, which is useful in some ways because it allows you to know whether you're making losses or not. But in another way, you're not in business as a small business owner to make zero profit. You're in business to make a living for yourself. And the number of clients I've had where they're worried that actually their staff are making more money than them. That is when the real break-even point kicks in. So the tool we have called the real break-even point is about working out, firstly, what do you as the business owner need to earn? And then how does the business then generate that earnings for you? And then it works all the way up from having worked out your personal income all the way up to what sales need to be made by your business based on the figures to secure that earnings that you require.
Oh, fantastic. So we need to consider what we need to live on and the current lifestyle. So actually, this is quite a good exercise for anyone actually assessing their outgoings, you know, that could lead to changes for people, such as budgeting, cutting out maybe unnecessary spending, saving, investing, anything like that. So why would you say that part of the process is so important?
I think it is. It's very important because if you understand your personal requirements for how much you need to live on, and when I say live on, it can be more than just, you know, this is how I put bread on the table. It also needs to include those luxuries and the rewards for actually having the stress of running your own business, the holidays that you may require and things like that. But it always surprises me the number of business owners who don't have a number. They can't put their finger on this is how much money I need to earn in a year in order to feel satisfied that I'm living the life that I am choosing to live, or in fact, beating a salary that I could get from employment. And I think it's probably the most fundamental thing that all business owners should have a grasp on. How much do you need to earn? I mean, obviously, I'm an accountant, and so I'm a big fan of personal budgeting just as much as I am business budgeting. But understanding what that bottom line of how much do I personally need to live on is the starting block to knowing, right, this sets all the targets for my business.
Yeah, 100%. And when you're talking about income, so obviously I assume the real breaking point is related to the business that you're running. So when talking about what other income someone might have to factor into this, what would that include?
Yeah, so if you've got income from other sources, say you've got rental properties, an investment portfolio, or say you run a business and you actually have a bit of pension income, all of these things need to be factored in because actually part of your income is outside of the business. You just need to work out what bit the business needs to top up. Even for small business owners who don't have other income, their income will probably be in two forms. If you run a limited company, part of your income will be a small salary from the company and the rest of it will be dividends. And effectively what we would do for a real break-even analysis is we would just look at the dividends element to start setting the real break-even point, because the salary element from your business will take care of itself in the way that we calculate that, because it falls in part of the overheads of your business.
Okay, and it's been talked about having a gross profit margin. How important is that to know in regards to the real break-even point?
That is probably, once you get beyond the this is how much I need to earn from the business, the next most important figure to understand the relationship between your business's expenses and sales is the gross profit margin. So the gross profit margin effectively is saying for every pound of sale, I will make this number of pence in gross profit. But gross profit profit is a bit of a misleading term. I prefer the term contribution, because if you sell £100 of something and it costs you £50 in purchases and salaries in order to make that sale, you've then made £50 gross profit, but that's actually £50 contribution to your overheads. So if you sell a lot of those things, you then need to make enough contribution to cover all of the overheads of your business. So that's where gross profit is important, because you need to make sure that the cost of sales, which is the bit that goes in between the sales and your gross profit line, they need to be all the things that are roughly directly related to the number of sales. So if you sell 100 of something, then you'd expect your cost to go up because you're buying 100 items, whereas your overheads tend to be the items that stay static no matter how much you do or don't sell. So you'd, the classic one being things like rent, because it doesn't matter how many things you sell, you're renting the office size or the factory size that you currently have.
Yeah, definitely. So why would it be worth knowing then, if, say, I was going to increase my margins by 10%, why is that worth knowing in relation to my break-even point?
So it's really important to understand that in relation to the break-even point, because your gross profit margin has the biggest impact on your profit. So if you are selling an item and you're making, say, 30%, and you're breaking even, so you're making zero profit, and then you increase your margin by 10%, well, actually, that entire 10% is going to be bottom line profit, because you are increasing your sales, you're making 10% more on those sales, you're already covering your overheads, that means you're now making a profit. That assumes, of course, that the volume of sales stays the same.
Ah, fantastic. So we've got the gross profit and we know what income we need to earn. Is the next step, we're talking about assessing overheads then. What would be a top tip for business owners listening to reduce or minimize those overheads once they fix their sales and their gross profit?
Yeah, so the way that the real break-even works is your main focus is to say, well, it sets you a budget for the number of sales that you need to make in a year, let's say. Then you've got your margins, which then say, right, this is how much we make on each of those sales, and this is how many of those sales we need to make in order to cover our overheads and profit that we require. If there's a problem with that calculation and it just looks like your sales target is impossible, first step, as we've just said, is to look at your gross profit margin, because if you can increase your gross profit margin, you're instantly adding profit into your business. If even doing that, your sales target looks too high, then you need to say, well, actually, we have an overhead base that is too big for what this business can generate in sales. So you need to then start looking for efficiencies. But one has to be careful when you look for efficiency and overheads, because your overheads, to a large part, set your capacity. So if your business is generating X amount of sales, you don't want to then start saying, well, actually, do you know what? We're going to go and get a smaller factory, and then find that factory can't provide the number of sales you need either. So you just have to be careful with that. So it's about looking at savings on different bits of it, but also having a growth mindset to say, well, the main way out of a position is to look at how you can improve your efficiencies in your margins, improve your sales line, and you don't want to start cutting things in your overheads that actually have a more long-term detrimental impact because they've reduced your business's capacity to actually generate those sales.
Oh, that's fantastic, because I guess it's really important for business owners, because although some costs, like you say, are fixed, actually they might be fixed for a reason in terms of the capacity to generate sales, but it also will help them, you know, spot a cost that might have gone out of control, and having actually a better understanding of how your overheads are impacted by your activity of the business is actually really useful for the business owner. But how would potentially debt, for example, how would that impact the break-even analysis?
Yeah, absolutely. And debt is a hot topic at the moment, with a lot of bounce back loans now starting to kick in with their interest payments being due, and you know, potentially we might be looking at people needing to take out extra finance as they deal with the growth of recovery. But the debt will effectively be part of the overheads of the business. So if you've got debt finance, then that adds into the overhead. So if there's a way of restructuring your debt to get a cheaper rate on that borrowing, then that will instantly reduce your overheads for the break-even calculation. So it is often worth having a look to see if there is scope in the market to reduce those costs, as it will have an impact on the break-even. Now, the break-even looks at profit, so it doesn't look at cash. So if you're having cash go out to pay for the maintenance, so paying the capital off those loans, that doesn't directly impact your break-even analysis because it looks almost purely at profit. Cash flow can be quite a complicated area to look at.
Yes, definitely. I think we're going to touch on that in a future episode anyway, so we can chat more about that one then. I've actually had a question in from one of our viewers on social media. They've asked, what is seasonality and how does that impact my break-even point?
So seasonality, I mean, the classic example for seasonality is you have an ice cream van, and in the summer you make lots of sales and in the winter you don't make as many sales. So what you might then do is say, okay, our business is very seasonal. We have peak of sales in the summer months, low of sales in the winter months. We're going to run a second branch to our business and it's going to sell umbrellas. So we'll sell more of those in the winter, and it then tries to even out that seasonality. Now, of course, this is a very hypothetical example, but in reality, I personally feel most businesses have some sort of seasonality. They'll have some months where their sales are traditionally lower. For example, February tends to be a low month for most businesses because it's a shorter month. December tends to be a lower sales month for non-consumer retail businesses because there are less working days in that month. So they tend to have an impact on seasonality, but then you'll also have other parts of seasonality. Now, the issue is we would usually go back and say, well, we'll look at all of the sales figures for every month for the last 5 years and assess that for patterns. Now, if we do that at the moment, the life cycle of 2020 has been so scuppered that assessment is difficult to make a picture of. And it also raises some questions to say, well, what will the sales environment be like going forwards? And the seasonality we've experienced in the past could be slightly different going forward because it may have changed the behaviour of your customers. But effectively, seasonality is important to consider because if you have a month where you always make lower sales, you don't want to just go, okay, my sales target for the year is X and divide that by 12 because you will always miss it on your low months. So if you can flex that target, say actually on your high months, you expect to make more than a 12th of your break-even turnover. And on your low months, you would expect to actually make less than, make more than one, less than a 12th turnover. So that you're saying, you're accepting that some months are lower turnover, some months are higher turnover. And if you flex your targets appropriately, then your break-even will then mix into the reality of your business's turnover.
Definitely. And I love that because it's more realistic than, like you say, having an even 12 month target. And it can be unmotivating if you missing Absolutely. It for 6 months and then not others. A term actually we use quite regularly, Josh, is average daily turnover, or ADT for short. So actually, how could this link to seasonality and why would this be important, especially for service businesses?
Averaged daily turnover is good if you've got you can put in a system where you can take this very sort of long-term figure. If you've got a sales figure, I need to make this in a year. Well, actually, that doesn't really help you in day-to-day business because it's so far away. You can always make an excuse or a reason why you could or couldn't hit that target. You need to break that down into shorter chunks. So the first step would be, right, this is my quarterly target, then it's a monthly target, then it's a weekly target. And if you can, if your invoicing allows you to set a daily target, that can be really powerful. Because if your systems for your sales or the work done show how much you are earning in a day, you can then compare that to that average daily turnover calculated from the break even, and you can have really, really good, almost instant information as to how you're doing compared to that target. Working in some seasonality into that, you can then actually say, well, today we hit target, today, tomorrow we need to do the same, or you can flex it. So if today you missed target, then that means, well, tomorrow we need to catch up a bit. I would hope that we would sell slightly more. And you can actually make practical decisions based on that. So if there's a piece of work that you know is in the wings, but you can see actually my average daily turnover has been too low for 2 days, you can pull that work forward, really put a push on it. Whereas if you've got this sort of end of year target, it doesn't give you that drive and information to say, do you know what, I actually need that in now because I'm missing target today. That's very different to saying, oh, I might miss target in 12 months time.
Yeah, definitely. And I love that we know what our turnover can be annually, but actually having it monthly and daily makes decision-making quicker. And but would the next natural step perhaps here then be to look at pricing? If you know what your turnover needs to be on a daily basis, how are you going to achieve that pricing your products?
Absolutely. And pricing is an interesting one because you've got two ways of thinking. You can say, well, actually, if I reduce the price, will I increase the volume of sales? But if you do that, it means you've got to sell so many more items to hit that real break-even point. If you increase your price, then actually it means you don't have to sell as many items to hit that real break-even point. And it's an interesting discussion that I've had with many businesses in the past, because you often have this it appears that a business may be being a busy fool, to use a horrible phrase, but that can be the case. If you're selling things quite cheap and having to chase after every sale, but actually each sale is only a small contribution to that real break even, you might be a busy fool. But actually, if you increased your prices and lost, say, 10% of your clients, but actually the ones that remained were paying enough money to give you a good margin and cover your overheads and cover that profit you need, you could actually end up in a position where you've got less customers, but you're making the same amount of money, and therefore not having to work as hard, which then frees you up to grow the business in other ways. So that's where pricing can be very, very important. There's lots of aspects to pricing. So it's whether you've got scope to increase the price because of factors in the economy. At the moment, I think many businesses do need to be looking at pricing because the cost of purchases is going up. The Bank of England are saying that there's a bit of a blip with inflation where we're seeing it go up quite sharply at the moment, but it shouldn't last too long. But, you know, I think it will probably have to be factored into pricing. So anyone who's not increasing their pricing when they're facing higher costs is potentially running into a problem in the future.
Definitely. I mean, we could probably do a whole episode on this topic itself, especially Absolutely. Right now. It's a complex area, isn't it?
And very complex.
I'm just thinking, for those smaller companies now just starting out, I mean, usually I found that it's done on gut feeling or costs plus profits they desire, perhaps. So how would our listeners actually go about considering where their price point of the services or products they're offering actually sit in the market, sort of normal market, shall we say?
Yeah. Lots of different ways that you can do that. So the first way that you might want to look at is sort of a bit of market research, whether you do that through a mystery shopper or looking around the market to see what your competitors are offering for. That's obviously a very important aspect, because then you know where you are in your market base, whether you want to be middle of the road or whether you want to be higher I don't recommend it whether you're a low cost provider, but you know that can be quite a dangerous market position to be in. But the other way of looking at it is to say, well, actually, what is my cost base? And if you're facing pressures with your overheads and cost of sales and margins, then the likelihood is other competitors will be facing the same thing, which is creating a lot of pressure in your market. So whether your competitors are currently pricing higher than you or not, if they're facing the same internal pressures as you, everyone in your market is facing this, when do I increase prices? And you'll probably find one person will make the jump to increase prices, and then there'll be a whole wave of price increases as everyone else follows suit, because they're like, oh, finally, someone's had the bravery to do this and we'll put our prices up too.
Yeah, I think that's more prevalent now today than, you know, any other. You know, I've especially with all the import export, charges and increases going up, I think having an knowledge of what your competitors are doing and what your market appetite is for pricing is really important. We touched on market research, actually, I think it was last episode. So how can we really hone in on pricing within our markets, and how would that affect our success or not if we get it wrong?
Well, I always think this is probably one of the most scary things that faces a business owner, this and how much wage increases to give their staff seem to be some of the most stressful conversations I get involved with. And ultimately, price increases, you want to get as much data as possible so that you've got as good a knowledge as you can about what the perception is going to be with your customers. But also, you're going to want to have to accept that you're going to be taking a bit of a punt, a bit of a risk potentially, to say, okay, we've just got to try this and see what happens. Now, if you're currently not breaking even, you've got to do something to turn that around, and you may therefore need to review your pricing. And it may not be a case of you need to review pricing or increase pricing of every product or service that you sell. It may be that key services actually are about the right level, and there are some value-added services, or when we say value-added, we mean services that your customers see higher value in, that you can create higher margins on. And that can actually be a good way of dealing with this, rather than it just being a across the board, everything's gone up by 2%. You could actually say, well, actually, you know, these services have got a higher value to my customers, therefore they're going to be more willing to pay that higher fee. And that will then start to feed better figures into your accounts, basically. But pricing is very complicated, and it's about making a judgment call. And the other one I talked about is whether you've got, if you're in a position where actually you find you're working very hard, or your team and staff are working very hard to just stand still, then it suggests, well, hang on, survey your customer base. How happy are they with the value that is being given? How happy are they with you? And you could even ask them, you know, would you be willing to stay with us if there was a 10% increase in the sales value? Of course, most of them will probably say not 10%, but they would probably be willing to take on a 2 to 5% increase if you're providing a very good level of service or product. And it's surprising that often the market, you know, customers sometimes are thinking, well, I think this person should actually be increasing the prices. Their perception is that you're quite cheap, cheaper than the service you provide. One of the things that I have seen in the past is that when there's been a price increase, there has always been less fallout on sort of sales volume than the business owner would expect, unless they have got it drastically wrong. There is usually appetite within the customer base to take on a little bit more of a price increase, because ultimately your customers don't buy from you because you're cheap. They buy from you because of other factors. So this is where understanding your unique selling point comes in. So whether you're providing a good after-sale service, whether you're providing a very good tailoring and bespoking of how you provide that service, whether the quality of the product is higher than some of your competitors, they are the things that win you clients. The price is just a bit at the end. It's a hurdle to get over rather than a reason to buy. Because if everything was free, we wouldn't go and buy everything, because we know we didn't have to pay for it. So there's always a reason. You have a reason to buy it, and you have a reason to buy it from that person, and the price is sort of the tail end of that.
You are totally right, Josh. And for some businesses, this may be a bit more of an important hurdle to overcome than others. And I really liked the change in the mindset with regards to pricing and increasing pricing, because I just think from a personal perspective, our phone bills, TV services, or utility services even, their prices go up quite regularly, but we don't really change supplier very often. We probably just accept the increases as they are, and people often avoid discussions around or acting upon their gut feeling with regards to pricing out of, I don't know, for fear perhaps. And I actually like your practical advice that there may actually be more appetite for these changes than what we may think that there is. I think this is therefore such a great little tip for business owners just starting out. Like, simply just don't be too scared to test it out. And just before we leave, have you got any practical tips for any of our listeners who haven't either even started this process of looking at their break even, or not really sure where to go if they've sort of muddled something out and don't really know how to interpret this, or how it may be used practically to actually help support their business decisions?
I think my top practical tip is, for a business owner, have a look at your bank statements for the last month. Look at how much you spent and how much you needed for putting into investments or putting away into your savings account, and put a figure on how much you need to get into your personal account each month, and tidy up all those things where the business might be paying for things that you're personal. Let's get all of that tidied up so you know the exact figure. This is what I need to earn. Because once you know exactly what you need to earn each month, it unlocks a lot of power, not just for break-even planning, but also for your personal wealth planning, and has a lot of other tax planning implications as well in that. So it's a really powerful number to get hold of.
Brilliant. That is fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Josh.
That's all right. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Well, next week, we'll be discussing how best to keep your accounting records right from the start and how important cash flow is to your business and its early success. So if you have any questions on this topic, please email them over to inquiries@a4g-llp.co.uk. In the meantime, please head over to our social media at A4G Chartered Accountants, where we're providing a lot more guidance on this area and many others. Alternatively, check out our website, www.a4g-llp.co.uk, which is full of free tools, guidance, and plenty of food for thought to help your business start up the right way. Our Business Breakthrough Startup Program is designed to help you be confident in your business's future and beyond. So with our Real Break-Even Point Calculator session, a key element of this program, we can go through this in detail directly in relation to your business and help you start the right way. I've been your host, Charlotte, and this is Let's Get Down to Business.